Welcome to another episode of the World of Wisdom podcast. My name is Nils, and in today's episode, I've been given the opportunity to actually bring in a guest recording, so to speak, from another podcast called The Outlook, which I'm hosting together with Bill Malison in a collaboration with The Absolute Company. So The Absolute Company has given me permission to repost and share that first episode of The Outlook on this podcast as well. It's a fairly short episode of about half an hour where myself and Bill discuss what we are experiencing is emerging in society today, society at large, in organizations, in individuals, and how all of that fits together. So without further ado, here's a guest broadcast from the Outlook podcast by The Absolute Company. Enjoy. Welcome to The Outlook, powered by The Absolute Company. I'm sitting here together with Bill Malison, who's in New York, a leadership coach helping organizations figure out and deal with transformation, the always changing world that we live in.
Indeed. And I'm sitting here with Nils van Heijne, holistic coach, who also helps organizations think about their place in the world and runs various businesses focused on trying to impact the world so positively and drive social change.
So we're two guys fascinated by how the world is changing, and that's what The Outlook is about. So we're spending 20 minutes just trying to figure out what is going on in the world around us, in society. What are the patterns that are emerging? What are we seeing? And what do we think that will mean for us as individual human beings, but also for our organizations and society at large? So let's just head straight into it, Bill. What are you currently seeing? What do you think is going on in the world around us? What's alive for you?
It's a big question. One of the biggest themes that has come up over and over again since the pandemic hit is this tension between chaos and control. And so I think we've gone from a world where people had the ability to control, for the most part, their environment, right? We had become masters of being able to control our businesses, our lives, or at least we had the illusion of that. And the pandemic came along and said, ha-ha, no more ability to control. We are going to throw the chessboard up entirely. And so I'm seeing companies and individuals really have to deal with their inability to control all of the things that they used to control. I was talking to a good friend the other day, an Irish guy who is a great storyteller and an artist. And he was talking about how he was impacted. And he told me this story about he used to believe that he was a rock. So he said, imagine you're at a creek and you're watching this creek flow by. And he says, I always really got value out of being the rock. I will be stable and sturdy and certain. He says, this year I've found out that I can no longer be the rock. Instead, I'm trying to be the river, where I can't control all of this stuff anymore. So I need to just flow and move with whatever comes up. And it's a changing of control. So control for the rock means stability, certainty, holding on to your core. And control in the river is being able to flow with what comes. So that's one of the big themes that I've been playing with this year.
Hmm. Fascinating. So I'm seeing similar things quite naturally. What I'm seeing is I don't think the pandemic in itself is what started this. I think we were already in this sort of shifting paradigm where things, we have this, you know, exponential rate of change. We have this sort of massively expanding world in a sense, and this overflow of information. So for a while, I've been seeing that we are in this state of, you know, a space which is impossible to control. And then, you know, the pandemic curveball came in to just make that even more.
It was the last rock on top.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me, it's what you're saying about the river and the rock. To me, that one aspect of that is looking at whatever we're doing. If I'm looking at my own personal experience of life, my own sort of life trajectory, or the organization that I'm in, as we've been so focused on results, on planning, yes, on controlling where are we heading and yes, when have we succeeded? And that to me is the rock. And now that's it's all it. About process. Now it's just river.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. Outcomes versus
process. What does this mean for us? What is this leading to? What are you seeing?
I mean, I think it's a massive transformation, because if you really think about that metaphor, it's a paradigm shift. It's a paradigm shift from the old industrial mechanistic model where we are the watchmakers, if you will, who are tweaking all of the knobs and the dials to get our predictable known outcomes. So it's shifting from that, you know, the watchmaker to the gardener, where you have some control over things, but you have control over process. But you have to be in relationship now to all of the other factors that come into play. So you have to be in relationship with the natural cycles. You have to be in relationship with light and sun. You have to be in relationship with the other organisms in your garden that you're trying to cultivate a symbiosis with. So that's a metaphor I've been using with clients is, what does it look like for your business to shift from being the watchmaker to the gardener?
So to me, that seems like a shift from planning to listening. Mm-hmm. To listening to whatever is going on, and not just around us, but also within us. There are so many expressions of this shifting paradigm in society. You can look at organizations as one element. You can also look at the individual's journey, where we're sort of quickly in certain parts of the world moving into the transformation economy, where my own personal growth and development and my own inner well-being and listening inwards through meditation, yoga, all of these trends that are exploding is happening quite fast and quite rapidly. And there's something about, we've been really, at least in my mind, we've been really focused on what, like, what are we doing? What are you doing? What am I doing? What is this organization doing? What is this society doing? And now with us falling into the river and no longer being able to stay as a rock, it's the what is impossible to foresee. The same with the garden. We don't know what will grow up exactly. It's more, once again, the process. It's more the how. Yeah. Like, how am I doing things? When everything is chaotic and I don't know where we're headed or what's going to happen, the only thing I can actually have some sort of control, or at least the experience of control of, is how I'm doing it. What is my approach to this? And what is our approach to this as an organization?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I think there's two key things here, you know, to focus on the process over outcomes, which again is a really big shift for organizations and for people. I think we're coming from a world in which the outcomes meant everything. And you look at our compensation structures are aligned for that. Our sort of psychology is aligned for that. You know, the way that we talk about things is very outcome focused. Right? Our incessant focus on productivity has shifted from a qualitative nature to a real quantitative nature. I think that's because, you know, we become masters of our tools. So we have all of this data and all of these tools that can tell us, you know, how many steps, take an individual, how many steps did you walk today? You know, what was your VO2 max? All of these metrics, right? They're useful, but without the qualitative edge of, like, did it make you happier? Do you feel healthier? Do you have more well-being? These are more qualitative measures. So I think that's a big shift. I also think something that's really intriguing is a shift from individualism to ecosystem, right? And so the realization that, oh, whatever my pursuit is, it's connected to other people. Whatever our pursuit is as a company, it's connected to the other organizations that are in our ecosystem. And we have to figure out how we can play together. And I think in the future, the organizations that are going to thrive are going to be the organizations that manage the ecosystem. They'll be the organizations that create opportunities for other players in their space.
So this is fascinating, and we're already starting to see this. It's in two ways we're seeing it. I'm seeing more what used to be competitors, or at least close to competitors, actually now collaborating in new ways and finding new partnerships. One concrete example is actually what the Absolute company is doing together with Carlsberg and the Coca-Cola company and a bunch of others, where they're coming together to develop new types of paper-based bottles, basically, as a collaboration, sort of across company borders. I think that's just one simple example. Also, what I'm seeing is this increasing interest around the world in indigenous culture, where indigenous culture really represent this, living in synergy with the ecosystem, with nature. So that kind of thinking, that kind of approach to life, to our society, I really see that now quite rapidly starting to influence other parts of society. So we're like, in a sense, I wouldn't say we're going back. It's like we're reconnecting with what it means to be part of an ecosystem, but from a place where we now have a lot of at least experienced power or experienced control over nature, which we're obviously part of. But still, there's something very interesting going on there, Jimmy.
Really, really interesting. And I love how you just framed that last bit, that we're not going back. Right? Going back, I think, implies a demotion of sorts, right? And it also implies that to go back, in a way, we give up all of the things that we've learned. So I really liked how you stated it as a rediscovering. And if you notice, like, the world has a whole bunch of re-themes. So reimagine, regenerate, rediscover, recycle. I keep seeing these themes everywhere. So there's a zeitgeist around that. But I think it's quite important, the way that you framed it. I see it as a sort of a spiral. We're circling back, but we're doing it at a higher level, right? So we're not circling back down, you know? We're not going to be necessarily going back to cook in clay ovens, but we might go back and to look at the knowledge of how did indigenous people commune with nature, and what can we learn from that, and how do we put that into our modern system? So it's this real synergy.
It's interesting also because it mimics what I'm seeing in the personal journey as a human being, and sort of the trends and the shift that is happening there as well, with this sort of increased focus on the inner self and the inner exploration, and a shift in definition of success, which obviously hasn't hit all of the world yet by any means, but still there is a and sort of the what you could be calling maybe the forefront or the forerunners of where society is headed, the shift from success meaning, you know, social status, fame, and a lot of money, to now it's sort of moved through freedom to now more like I'm a whole human being, I'm aligned with my path and my purpose, and I've healed sort of every aspect of myself, and I can live a fulfilling life. That to me is really interconnected with this shift that we're seeing in society at large, because what it means is that myself as an individual finds a way to function better in my ecosystem. So I'm more connected with myself and the outside world, which means I'm playing my part in my ecosystem just a little bit better. Myself as a piece of the puzzle or a cell in the organism functions a little bit better. And when a lot of cells starts functioning a bit better, the entire organism sort of has the potential to upgrade and heal and align even further.
I love it. Yeah. One of the things I've been doing with folks that I work with is role definition. Is this rediscovering and reimagining of what is your roles, plural? Like, what are the roles that you play on this team? What are the roles that you play in this organization? What are the roles that this organization plays in its ecosystem? And it's been a really fruitful exploration to do with people, because the way we define it is a role has to have a purpose. So you've got to reflect on, why does this exist? What is this role attempting to do? And that purpose isn't quantitative. It isn't, you know, achieve 10% growth in sales. But, well, why do you want to achieve 10% growth? Like, there's a purpose behind it that we explore. But what's really interesting is anytime you go to define a role, you end up back at this idea that, well, the role is connected to others. So who are you in relation to some other thing? So there's always this bringing back of in relation to.
So there's this ecosystem approach emerging. There's this sort of inner exploration emerging, both in individuals and I would say in organizations as well, where it's more about process and listening and figuring out, who am I as an individual? Who am I as an organization in the ecosystem? And understanding that in order for me to thrive and survive, I need to add a lot of value to the ecosystem. It's not about taking. That's sort of the no longer sustainable approach, which is becoming very important in all aspects.
Yeah. I need to know how to play my role really well.
Yeah. So that leads me, I'm sitting with curiosity around, like, hands-on for the individual, for the organization, living through this time of human history. What is becoming important here? What are, you know, are we seeing any hands-on approaches that seem to be working? What are you experiencing in terms of that? Where do you think we're headed from that perspective?
Well, there's a couple of key, sorry, there's a loud snowplow coming in the background, but such as the times now, we get to see a window into each other's world. You know, we're going to hit some of the themes that we've already hit, but you know, one of the things I'm really seeing is people reflecting on, what does it mean to contribute, right? So what is it that I'm trying to add to some whole? And so first there's an exploration of, what's the whole that I'm trying to add to, right? You know, what's my garden, if you will? And then another reflection is, what are the different roles that I need to play in order to help this holistic system thrive? The other thing that we've done a lot of work on is getting people out of just the quantitative and into the qualitative. So I'm recalling Deming. He would say, like, you absolutely have to measure things. And the most important things can't be measured. So he introduces this concept, and he's talking about, like, management, but his philosophy of profound knowledge. He introduces a core paradox. Is, you absolutely have to measure. If you're not measuring something, then you don't know if there's been any improvement. And don't get stuck in just measuring the quantitative. It's the qualitative that matter. He called them intangibles. It's the intangibles in a life, in a business, in an ecosystem that are the most important things.
So sort of circling back to your initial analogy about the rock and the river, you know, flowing in the river in the present moment, which is where you are, finding your approach, finding your how, like, what is my core how? which to me both allows me as an individual to sort of align with the times. It's this chaotic time. No one can really foresee what's going to happen. We can't plan. We can't control. So all I can do is sit with my how, find my approach to this present moment. And in that, at least the way I'm seeing it, it allows me to connect with who I am more deeply in the present moment. And then from there, measure, see what is happening. Potentially there's something around that sort of interplay of, I can't measure the core things, the core aspects of myself. That won't give me the answer of who I am as an individual or in an organization in this ecosystem. But yet I have to measure to sort of explore it, to figure it out, to see where we're headed, to help each other understand where we're headed in a better way.
Yeah. And I, in the midst of chaos, right? And things that you can't control. What are you left with controlling? Well, you're left with controlling small things that you can do every day, right? So working with one client, it's like, you can breathe. In the midst of the chaos, you can stop and you can breathe. Right? In the midst of the chaos, you can commit to meditating. And if you do that on a regular basis, and that's your process, you keep going back to process and craft, right? Then the idea there is you'll become the river. You'll be able to flow with whatever comes, because after a month, after 2 months, after 6 months, you'll become very good at breathing and meditating. And you'll become very good at handling more chaos, right? You'll increase your bandwidth in the ability to manage chaos. Another thing that I think you can control is what you value. So a lot of work we've been doing with organizations is forcing them to reflect and say, what do you really value? And there's a disconnect often. There's what you say you value, and then there's the behaviors that you have. And so we try to cause that reflection of people to say, well, you say these, let's look at what you do. And then let's look at the gap, right? That's the integrity gap. If you say that you're about the environment, but you are producing a lot of plastic, you're out of integrity, right? And an important piece I think we talk with clients about is not shaming people, but just acknowledging and having the awareness of, okay, we're out of integrity. This is like shadow integration work, right? In the personal space, you don't feel shame about the shadow. You let the shadow in, you acknowledge the shadow so that you can work with it and integrate it. So as it pertains to an organization, it's saying, what are our shadows? Yeah, we produce too much plastic. Okay. Let's not try to reject that. Let's integrate that and see how we might work with it so that we can shape it and form it into something more productive and positive.
So what I'm hearing here and noticing myself as we're sort of rounding this conversation off is I'm seeing that what you're just describing, the shadow work for organizations as a core element of this, the insight that in increasing complexity and chaos, the simplistic approach, finding the core of yourself, of your organization becomes key, because that's all we can actually work with here. And in that, in finding my breath, my meditation, my presence, my core values, that allows me to really connect with myself as an individual and as an organization. And that's also sort of the foundation for deeper relationships. If you just look between humans, when we do that, when we breathe together, meditate together and share our core values, we form these really strong bonds, right? So just imagine when organizations start actually doing that at a higher level, the collaborations that we can start having in this world that has been so characterized by competition can potentially finally start moving into collaboration and synergy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you nailed it. And I don't know why this comes to mind, but the idea of finite games and infinite games. And competition is very much a finite game space, right? Like we map the playing field and we put the scoreboard up and I go, okay, Nils, let's go. I'm going to score more than you, right? And that's fine. We can play those games. But over time, they start to become less interesting. Like, think of a tic-tac-toe game that you just keep playing over. It just gets boring. But an infinite game, right, is more a space of improv in which we come in and we go, let's play together. And the point of the infinite game is to just continue to create more things and to see what can, like, what's next? Wow. Oh, we created this collaboration together. That was really cool. We created this other collaboration together. That didn't work, but it was fun to do. So that's what comes up when you talk about it in that way. It's like, that might be the big shift, right?
Yeah.
Is to move to seeing the world in how do we get to play infinite game space where the game isn't necessarily competition, right? The game is, let's see what amazing things we can create together.
It's co-creation. So if we were to, or if I asked you to wrap this first conversation, the outlook, up with a few words, well, what's striking to you right now? What are you checking out with from this conversation?
Yeah, we covered a lot of territory, so there's a lot of things. I like the metaphor of sit with the idea of what it might mean for you to shift from being the rock to the river. And then I also like the paradox of holding paradox and what it might mean for you to shift from focusing on only quantitative things, right? How many steps do I make, and to qualitative things, right? How do I feel? How much love got created in this experience? How much joy got created in this experience? How much awe got created in this experience? So those are the two things that sit well with me.
Cool. Thank you. And to mirror that and add on to it, I'm also bringing with me from this conversation just this simplistic view on complexity, that what if we focus on breath, presence, and core values, and always start from there, and then just actively listen and explore. And I love this very bright and hopeful view of us now being in the process of co-creating an infinite game for humanity as part of the ecosystem of the planet.
Yeah, the game is to keep the game going. We're going to compete ourselves out of playing, and that nobody wins that game.
Nobody wins that game. Nobody. So let's keep this game going with more episodes. Thank you, Bill, and thank you guys for checking in with us in the Outlook space. Hopefully, this brought up some ideas and thoughts. And feel free to reach out with any responses that you might have. Have a lovely day.
Great to be with you.
Likewise.
That was the first episode of the Outlook podcast, brought to you by The Absolute Company with myself and Bill Malaisen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. As always, if you have any thoughts, ideas, questions, emotions, anything you want to share, feel free to reach out where you're hearing this podcast or on my website, nilsvonheine.com. I wish you a lovely day and looking forward to hopefully have you back as a listener soon again. Take care.